It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Second down and three. Fields on the roll. Sets up, throwing deep. He's got a man out there, and it is juggled and dropped by Robert Tonyan. Oh, Tonyan can't believe it. Sione Takitaki was trailing in coverage, and Tonyan just dropped a touchdown.
I forgot about that one. Yep. It's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. How about that one? Holy
cow. That pass was unbelievable.
Oh, yes. Right in his hands. It bounced twice off his hands.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. That's something I completely forgot about hearing that. Good job there, Sean. Because there was so much going on in that game that's a moment that, you know, that's 7 points. All right, maybe that changes the flow of the offense. Maybe change. I don't know, but that's 7 points off the board there. They didn't get with that touchdown. That's a good grab there, Sean. Because that's something just with all that went on in that game that I completely forgot about.
Yeah,
what did you guys think?
Argument. You know, what's it that? Continues the argument. It just continues the argument of, you know, are the balls there to be made and the guys, you know, like Tonyan and Mooney just not catching, right? It just continues that continuous argument that we've been on now, this ride we've been on for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. What did you guys think about the before half, throwing the Hail Mary, not kicking the 55-yarder, and then also Justin Fields taking that late hit that was a non-call that should have been a 15-yard penalty, then you get to line up for a field goal?
I didn't understand it, frankly. He took a bad hit. I didn't understand what the thinking was on that. And it was – I know it didn't – I'm sure they'll get rid of it as an interception because it wasn't, but it did count as an interception. And he had been going pretty well without throwing picks. So I just didn't get it.
I was laughing, Mully, because he didn't get that call, and I saw Myles Garrett get ripped down on like a holding call, and I was like, I lost my money in Vegas, right? Because I didn't get the holding,
and
I didn't get the call on Justin Fields, so I'm glad they didn't have that parlay in Vegas there. But Pat, really just more interested in what you thought about not kicking the field goal there. I just assumed that the Hightower and Cairo just said, I can't make it from there.
Yeah, that's what I kind of wanted to get to. I'm sure that's what it was. And then somebody tweeted that they were showing him, I think, a pregame warm-ups. He couldn't make it from 54 yards or something like that going in that direction. And then one way you can also judge it, and when you watch the guys kick off, right? So the other direction, everybody was kind of kicking it through the end zone. Going into that direction where he was trying to – or could have lined up for a 55-yarder, it was just barely going across the end zone line. So I think it was a win thing. So what normally happens is you'll go into pregame, you'll go through your routine, you'll continue to back up to your farthest spot you can make a kick, and that's your line. That's what you set. And then you can say, okay, what can we stretch it to if we have to, if the elements change? Could you squeeze 3 or 4 more yards out of it? Cairo's earned the right to say no. He's a guy to me that he doesn't care about what he's made 8 in a row or whatever, made 11 in a row before. I don't think he cares about that streak. I know some kickers did, and I'm not Robbie Gould was not one of them, but there was other people that were like, man, I don't want to mess up my streak. And I hated that because you should be a team player. But, you know, that to me was – that's Cairo making the right decision for the team as well, knowing he can't make it. You know, if it's the end of the game, if they did get it there, you would try that instead of a Hail Mary. But I had no problem with that call because that's something set up in pregame and you understand the distance that he can kick it.
Pat, at that point, do you worry at all as a special teams guy – about like what Vasher did, where they catch it,
yeah, exactly,
and turn it on you in a game like that.
Yeah, because that's you've got a bunch of big uglies covering the kick, right? And that's what you do worry about. You know, if people remember, it was 0-1 against San Francisco with the orange uniforms, where Nathan Basher returned it 109 yards. And that's, you've got a bunch of O-linemen, a couple tight end covering kicks that aren't really, you know, cover guys, obviously. And that's definitely what you're worried for. And you just kind of weigh in, are your chances of making the kick or having that return hurt you? Or are you, can you, you know, complete a Hail Mary? And as we saw, they were potentially could complete the Hail Mary because they did it at the end of the game, or almost did it at the end of the game.
Oh, gosh, I cannot believe some of the plays in that game. And you know, I hate to say this, but that last play, I get it. Didn't that remind you a little bit of Velus Jones in the end zone when he collapsed and the ball kind of hit his hands and then landed in his stomach, and the next thing you know, the ball pops out? That's kind of what happened to Darnell Mooney on that play. And listen, it would have been a miracle and it would have been crazy, but the ball did hit him in the hands. And I know that was slapped
twice.
Down. Yes. I mean, why am I disappointed in that?
Well, just the way we've talked about Velus Jones when it did happen, I didn't see exactly who it was, and I yelled out, was that Velus? And then found out it wasn't. I was like, well, thank God for that young man, because Molly would have killed him.
Oh, I've never forgiven him, have I? Yeah, that was rough. I apologize to Velus. A lot going on in this game, a lot of things to really like, you know, and I do want to get to the Montez Sweat element of this game. We talked about the fact that they did lose a pass rusher going into the game, and Sweat finishes with 2.5 sacks and 5 quarterback hits or hurries, and he was dominant, and he, you could argue, may have been the best pass rusher in the game. And, you know, I get it. They gave up a second-round pick for him, and they gave him $98 million. But I guess my question for you guys is, did you know that he was that player among the – they had 4 number one picks on that line. And, you know, you were kind of spoiled for choice as to who was the best player, and certainly other people seemed to get more credit, but his coaches loved him in Washington and did not want to lose him. I'm just wondering if that indeed was something that you knew about him, that he was, you know, away from those guys, he's done nothing but grow and blossom and been relentless and all the rest of it. When he was with them, he may have been overshadowed because they had so many good players.
Yeah, Olin, I'd love to get your take on it.
Yeah, you know, Pat, I think you probably did the same thing I did, right? You called people in Washington and asked them, what did you think about Montez Sweat? And they all raved about him, Mully. So I remember being a little surprised at how much they actually loved him, because why would you get rid of a young pass rusher you loved that much, right? I guess that's just where they are with their salary cap and signing guys. But after talking to them, I wasn't surprised at what he's done here. And they were really impressed. I think what surprised me the most is, and I'm not in the locker room, is I don't know how you feel, Pat and Molly, but it seems like he's a leader out there too. And it looks like he gets along, you know, they're doing all that dancing together and really gets along well with his teammates and speaks very highly of Eberflus. Like I'm a little shocked, I guess, about how fast he's adapted and got comfortable here and feels like he belongs here. And the effort he gives with the money he just got, Pat, I don't know how you feel, man, but I am really impressed by what he's done. And remember, he missed the sack too early.
Yes. Right?
He missed that one. I mean, I don't want to say he killed the tackle, but Flacco spun out and then he could have had another sack.
Yeah, it is impressive, and we got to give Ryan Poles credit. You know, we talked about Chase Claypool in the pregame, how he missed on him, but he swung and hit a grand slam with this guy, in my opinion. I didn't know he was going to be this good. We've played him twice, right, when he was with the Commanders, and just going back and kind of watching that tape, I thought he was a very good football player, but I didn't think, and maybe my reasoning is what you said, Mully, he had 3 other first-rounders across the board from him that you thought they would all dominate and kind of feed off each other. But he's doing it now with guys that are, you know, kind of NFLers. They're not studs, and he's making them better. He's getting better. It's really impressive what he's done. And Olin, like you talked about being a good teammate, I think that's huge too. If you're going to pay somebody that amount of money, that's what you're looking for too. If you're going to pay a quarterback all that money, you want him to be a guy that everybody wants to be around, brings everybody together. And the guys I talked to in Washington said they were going to miss their favorite teammate in the locker room. And I was like, oh, that says a lot. You know what I mean? That's a guy that brings everybody together. You're joking around. You know, everybody gets along. And, you know, he's a multiplier in the locker room, if that makes sense. And they just said, we're really going to miss him in the locker room. He's that good of a guy. I mean, Ryan Poles did a heck of a job. And you got to give him credit for that. He's made up for that Chase Claypool mistake.
Andy is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Andy.
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, boy, really painful. Just a couple of quick observations. One is, it seems like, you know, this is three games basically this year that they've snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. That's the difference between being 8-6 and in the playoffs and having a losing season, number one. But that's the NFL. I mean, it's a parity league. You got to be able to finish. I was watching the game with a bunch of Bears fans, a table of us, and the consensus was that we like Eberflus, especially because of the way the defense has been performing since he took over, that maybe he deserves another shot. But everybody wants to see Getsy gone. To Pat's point about, you know, the way the calls were being made late in the game, it just seemed like the whole clock management thing just sort of went out the window. They were just, you know, it just seemed like very, very poor play calling, and everybody seems to be kind of on the same page. Wonder what you guys think.
Yeah, Olin, we get late in the game like that. When you were in the huddle and you've got, you know, a 10-point lead or whatever, was there talk about, all right, we're not going to snap the ball until there's 2 or 3 seconds left on the clock, trying to bleed every second off so you're limiting, you know, the amount of times that they have a chance to score or, you know, possessions?
Oh, especially in that situation, right,
yeah.
Pat, where the other offense is really struggling.
Yeah.
Right? We want to take their possessions away. Now, if you're playing against a very good offense, then no. Of course, you got to try to stay aggressive because they may score also. But in this kind of game, I'm sure that was talked about on the sideline, right? And as far as the play calling goes, we talked about that Robert Tonyan drop. That was a fake, like, toss, boot, rollout.
Yep.
Remember Cole Kmet sealed Myles Garrett, right? And Justin Fields got to the edge and threw it out there. And, Mully, you talked about when he got really hot and he was throwing the ball well. That's because they moved him around out of the pocket first, right? And
right.
then he hits DJ Moore there on the sideline on a back shoulder ball. So it's just those kind of things you wonder about it. And I have to go back through the game, right, guys? But
right.
I don't remember a lot of that in the second half, right? I don't remember them moving the pocket a lot in the second half, which is just weird to me.
Yeah, I the whole damn game is weird to me because it just
the whole
felt
damn season.
Like, well, the whole season. There you go. And I mean, we talked about in the pregame show. It was very exciting, the idea that this was a game that they needed and they had to have. And it was later in the season, and they put a couple wins together. And you know, it's a couple wins. You can't act like they won seven straight, right? It's a couple wins. It's hard to win three straight games. You could argue it's really hard to lose three straight games. That should be the kind of thing. If you lose three in a row, something's got to happen. Someone's got to go. And to see the Bears kind of, I feel like they kind of wasted a really good opportunity to get their longest winning streak in a long time.
And I think it was last week, right, that Eberflus said finish 20 or four times in 22
yes.
seconds or something like
yes.
that.
Yes.
That's where we thought they were getting to. We felt like, all right, they finished the game last week against Detroit, and I was curious how they were going to come out. We talked about the pregame. How are they going to come out this week with that little extra juice? How exciting it is that locker room when you have a game like this, an opportunity like this to stack some wins and still have that little carrot in front of you, although it be now it's over, but the playoffs or whatever. They came out and they played hard. They played great.
Yes.
They came out very aggressive, defense flying around, getting takeaways, and then they just couldn't finish. And that's the big thing he's been preaching, and that's on the coaches and the players, and it's unfortunate because I just felt like they were turning the corner with what we saw the last 2 weeks against winning teams. They had a chance against to do it, another winning team, up 10, 12, whatever, to go in the fourth quarter, and they can't finish. They just need to finish.
Yeah, we talked about in the pregame coming into the game, we talked about the national view on the Bears, right? The national perspective on who the Chicago Bears are. And you could see their point also, right? It was the Lions. The Lions had a lot of injuries. It was, you know, why did Flores stop blitzing a quarterback who struggles with the blitz late? So those things were being asked by the national media. And we came into this Cleveland game knowing that the Cleveland had all these injuries. They're on their fourth quarterback. You wanted them to win this game so we could believe that you were improving, yep. that things were getting better, that this team was taking the next step towards elite. And all of that just got – it just sucks that that got taken away, to be honest.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hold on. It's going to be interesting to see how this team rebounds from this one.
Right.
You know, because now the talk is going to be about, you know, everybody was kind of saying maybe Eberflus is earning his job. And now it's going to swing the other way. What's going to happen inside that locker room? What's going to come from the podium? You know, what are the answers going to be from some of the guys now that the playoffs are done? I expect it to probably, you know, bad stuff's not going to be said about Eberflus from the guys inside. But this will be an interesting time to kind of just see how this team of players inside that locker room deal with this, knowing the uncertainty that's in front of them.
I know this is a mean-spirited question, and I don't mean it as such, but does the fact that the playoff dream, however absurd it may have been, does that mean that you start trying to play more young guys? You start looking toward who's coming back and what can you get out of them, that kind of thing? Is that, you know, they got a lot of good performances from young players, right? Stevenson, that was a great interception. Mm-hmm. He did a great job at mm-hmm. that. And their secondary is very young. Do we anticipate with three games remaining that the Bears may take a look at other guys on the roster that we haven't seen much of this year? I would have said Dominic Robinson, for instance, before this game where he was actually active.
Yeah, it's a great question, but I think all the young guys are on the field. I think all the guys that you would take a look at are on the field, and I'd have to go back through the roster, but I don't see anybody there, you know, with a young guy behind him or a young draft pick behind him where you're kind of wondering, well, why would this guy be playing over him in this situation?
What about Javon Dexter? Would that be one that maybe you really up his snap count? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know it's gone up a little bit, but that's one to me that, you know, I think the more reps he's getting in this system, the better he's becoming. That would be the one player because, Olin, you're right. It's a whole team of young guys. I mean, who do you put in there? I mean, you're probably splitting time between Stevenson and Smith at corner, right? Maybe a safety. I don't know who you're going to put in for Eddie Jackson. But to me, it would just be Javon Dexter. Pickens, I don't think you would do that because you paid Billings. He's going to be here. You want him to be on that D-line working with those guys.
Billings,
you
know, figured on that third and two.
Oh man.
He ate that guy.
Yeah.
That was ate Nick Harris.
He is good, man.
You know, we've been talking about that, I think, now, Pat, for almost 3 weeks, right? Like, we thought it was Javon Dexter's time 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So that wouldn't shock us. You know, that wouldn't be shocking either if they moved him in there.
Let's try Mike. Mike's in Rockford. Hey, Mike.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Listen, I'll make this short and sweet. Here's the deal. Two wins, the Bears go two wins in a row, and everybody's changing their mind. The whole city, all Bear fandom mania is saying, oh, I got to keep Eberflus, got to keep Gutsy, got to, you know, Justin Fields, maybe he's a quarterback. Listen, I want to keep Fields, but after today's game, guys, the defense gave them the gifts. Fields couldn't move the ball for anything. And I want to know why they're keeping him in the pocket. He's not a pocket passer. Gutsy, his play calling is horrible and suspect most of the time and very predictable. He's got to go. If you know, all I'm going to say is if Eberflus is going to keep his job, he's got to get rid of Gutsy because he'll definitely be gone next year. And one other point, guys, I hope that Tevin Jenkins isn't hurt too bad because he's really one of the best Bears offensive linemen. But I just got to say, after today's game, guys, I really, really think that Bears might have to make a change at quarterback because I just don't know, guys. He looks really good at times, but he can't find the open receivers. I'm talking about Justin Fields.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
hard to defend right now.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, it's 100%. Here's the thing. I mean, what's happening too now is we got excited, like you said, for 2 weeks, and I did. We all did. We were excited this morning for the game. They're showing their true colors. This is who they are. They can't finish. You know, they did it for 2 weeks, but it's a long season. They got to be able to do that. You want to see the growth. And then to his point about Eberflus, if he stays, all right, if they keep Justin Fields and Eberflus, there's no way Luke Getsy stays. You can't do that. You can't. That's not his system. You can't let him be driven by Luke Getsy anymore with what he's doing because it's not working. But we don't know whether he'll keep him or not, keep Justin Fields or not. But if you do, it's tough to say that you're going to have to put him through another offensive coordinator. This is not a system that he can run well.
Yeah, and we talk about Justin Fields. You know, Dan Pompey talked about his ball security, right, and worrying about that in the rain. And that's something he has to improve on. And kind of on that drive we talk about where Tonyan dropped the ball and then he hit DJ Moore in the flat. It was like all right there on that one drive. And on 3rd and 8, Tevin Jenkins jumps on it, but they do cause him to fumble in the pocket, right? So it's kind of like Mike was talking about on the phone. You know, we want Justin Fields to be the guy. We want to believe they turn the corner. And then, but it's almost like with this team, we've been talking about for weeks now, you can almost predict what's about to happen, right? Like, oh, man, here we go. They're going to give up that play. Or after these great plays, this is usually when a fumble happens, right? Or this is when Getsy makes a bad call or keeps him in the pocket too long. It's like I don't know what the decision makers up at Halas Hall think has to change, but something has to change.
Mm-hmm.
All righty, 312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. You're listening to the Great Clips postgame show on The Score, presented by Tullamore Dew.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Flacco facing a four-man rush. Pressure comes. Sweat's got him again. His third sack of the day.
Oh, yes, indeed. It is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew, and that is Montez Sweat, and he's hot, man. He's been great since coming to the Bears, and he adds to his total. He now has 6 sacks on the season. They talked about it in the game. He still leads the Commanders in sacks, and now he leads the Bears. He's going to lead 2 teams by the end of the year. And he's hot and cold. Sadly, we're going to stick with Darnell Mooney. He was cold coming into the game, and he didn't really do anything to get himself out of that. So, sadly, he is cold, and this Who's Hot and Who's Cold is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. A missed opportunity for the Bears, another late-breaking loss. They managed to lose a game they seem to have in control. And unfortunately, they end up with assured now of a losing season in year 2 of the Matt Eberflus era. And you know, good things have happened, and you don't want to overreact. But losing close games like that, that's going to leave a mark. Sadly, it's just that simple.
Yeah, it's just it is, and it's just it stinks because they had. I thought they were turning the corner, and I thought this would have been them turning, you know, completely almost turning the corner to the next level of learning how to finish, and they couldn't do it. You know, the defense at the end could not finish. And I was just thinking about this. I was reading my notes during that break there that, you know, the defense could have had, what, 3 more interceptions that were tipped into their hands, right? Yeah. But they also bailed out the special teams when Olin's guy, Trent Taylor, muffed a punt. And Tyreek Stevenson, the next play, intercepts it near the goal line, right?
Yeah.
So the defense had, if you think about it, I wish they could have finished. I wish they could have capped it off and not let them score at the end. But they had a heck of a game and could have even had a greater game with more interceptions that were in their hands.
Yes, it's a tough one because there was some excitement going into the game. And we talked about how people would think we're crazy to be excited about this team going to this game against an injured Cleveland Browns team. But that's what happens when you have one winning season. I think it's like 11 seasons now. So
when you
do get 2 wins, we get a little bit excited, hoping this team was turning a corner, hoping they were changing who they were, and the young players were getting better, and they were going to figure out how to win games on the road versus a quarterback who just came off the couch, who had 4 or 5 backup offensive linemen in the game and 2 new safeties and all the things we talked about going to the game could you find a way to win a game where your defense scores a touchdown and puts you on a one-yard line, which basically accounts for 14 points in that game? And again, you found a way to lose it. And eventually, if you're a decision maker, you have to say, look, I know all the reasons why I can say why it's not your fault. I just have to say what's actually happening.
I mean, everything you listed there, Olin, just makes it unacceptable. You know what I mean? That's unacceptable. You should not lose that game with everything you just said there. Like, that's on coaches. That's on players. That's just, it's unacceptable. And like I said, it's just unfortunate that this kind of game had to happen, where while it was going through three quarters, you're writing a different script, how you're feeling about this team. The defense is really growing. They're dominating the game. They're going to win it because of the defense. Okay, we got through on with the going against the number one defense in the NFL. We got to win that way. Our defense outplayed them. But, oh, man, it's a sad thing to hear, because everything there you just said makes it an unacceptable loss.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other element of this is, like, I don't know how to view their season now, knowing that they won't have a winning record, knowing that, you know, they did get to a point where they won a couple games in a row. They did get to a point where they won a couple games in the division. And, you know, I think they are 5-9 right now as we speak. They've got three games left. Two, I would argue, are winnable. And I was looking back. I think I took them for 7 wins. So if they get to 8 wins, am I to feel differently about them? If they get to 7 wins and they do exactly kind of what I anticipated they do, given their given every element of it, do I think differently about it because they won more games at the end of the year, if indeed that turns out to be the case, as opposed to understanding, well, you know, it's really hard to open an NFL season and you're going to drop 4 games before you realize that things are actually going on. I just don't know how to feel about this year and these final 3 games. If indeed, you know, they're playing hard and they're the try-hard team and you can see it on tape, they're going to win a couple more games. Is it different if they win 3? If they get to the 3-game winning streak? Does any of it really matter once you know that you're out and other teams might have different information?
Molly, would you pick them for 7 wins if you knew they had Montez Sweat?
No.
Right? If you knew you had that guy, would you give him a couple more wins, right? Like that, that's kind of changed a few things there. But like you're saying, we're in the midst of the forever rebuild, right? That's what we're talking about with this team when we're watching them. You don't expect much from them because, like we're talking about, what happened today, although pisses you off watching them do that, you expected it, right? You're watching a game and you're like, well, I wonder when they're going to tie this up, right? I wonder how they're going to lose this game, Pat. I mean, you hate thinking that. It's just that we've watched them so much over the years, and you want them to prove you wrong, right? You want to come on here and say the things we said in pregame, that they're improving, that they did win, beat 2 teams in their division, and they beat the division-leading Detroit Lions. And we just watched the Lions blow the Denver Broncos out. So it was a good win, a legitimate win, right, against a good football team. And you want them to go beat a team that is decimated by injuries, but it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's amazing the positivity we had this morning compared to the way I feel right now. I mean, I was so excited. I got up this morning. I'm like, I cannot wait for this game. I had them winning. I thought with all the injuries that we talked about that they were just the better team and they're going to keep improving and we're going to enjoy doing pregame every Sunday for the rest of the year. And then they go out there and they do that. And it's just, it's depressing. And Olin, you're right. That sad feeling snuck back in. Like, how are they going to lose this game? And that's just, you know, that's the culture of that team right now. And that's on Matt Eberflus, right? And I'm wondering if Ryan Poles had that feeling as well. You're talking about him up in that suite. Was he worrying about, are we going to slide back in? Or are we going to let him slide back in and lose this game? And I'm wondering if guys like that in the building have that feeling. And if you do, then you understand your decision's kind of already made, that you can't continue with this coaching staff, this quarterback. And you got to look at yourself, you know, internally. And if you're feeling that up there, and he's got to have a feeling one way or the other, and you think he'd want to be positive, but you got to look inside yourself and answer that honest question, that if he is feeling that up there, then I think the answer is written.
Let's try, I believe it's Marlon. Marlon's in Chicago. Hey, Marlon.
Hey, gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. Let me say this. The Bears had better try to keep Justin Fields, because you can get Caleb Williams here if you want to. You'll have another Draymond Green on your hands. He's not all that great. The offensive line, they need an offensive staff to create an offensive line that can block for Justin Fields. Every time the ball was snapped, he had a defensive player in his face. So how can he get rid of the ball quickly when you got 6'8", 6'7", 6'6", linemen in your face? You can't see anybody. I'm 6'4". I wouldn't be able to see a receiver. You got to be able to block for your quarterback and quit holding Justin Fields in the pocket. Roll him out. That's what Aaron Rodgers did. That's why he was successful. Get rid of this coaching staff. Eberflus, I would probably keep, make him a defensive coordinator. But get rid of this coaching staff you got and bring in some people that know how to play football. Darnell Mooney cannot block. He cannot catch. The Bears should have won this game 24-20.
All right. Thank you. You know, I wonder how Flusie will react when you tell him, hey, we're keeping you, but you're just going to be the defense coordinator.
I heard somebody on the radio, I don't know who said it, it's like, give him $1 million pay raise, keep him as a defensive coordinator, and then bring in another head coach. That way you can keep him around because you are impressed with the way he's calling this defense. That's never going to happen, but yeah, that's fun talk for the radio. But I think what we're finding out, guys, is that Getsy and Fields are not the answer together. I think the question is, can Fields do it with somebody else? Or, you know, if you're getting rid of Fields, to me, you start over with a fresh offensive coordinator with the new rookie quarterback. And I just don't think it's Getsy. But I think we're finding out that Getsy and Fields, that's not the answer. That one's already – that's solved to me. That equation's is solved. That's not the answer. And just that should be – no more talk of that going forward.
Yeah, you know, no more young offensive coordinator with a young quarterback surrounded by a young offensive staff in Chicago, if you guys don't mind, right?
Yeah.
With a defensive head coach. If anybody doesn't mind, right? If anybody doesn't mind, no more of that. And then, as far as the Caleb Williams argument that Marlin makes, I mean, you'd have to go and do a ton of research on him.
Yes.
And whether it's May, and it's just comparing the two and how which direction you want to go in with your quarterback. And it just, again, it just sucks to be talking about this situation again.
Ah, no question about it. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Great Clips Postgame Show presented by Tullamore Dew.
We're back with more of the Great Clips Postgame Show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. She grew
up. Pressure up the middle, in trouble, and down he goes. DeMarcus Walker got to him for the sack. He almost lost that football, but Walker, now 2.5 sacks on the year, drops him for a loss of 8.
Well, right here, you got to get some help from your left tackle and Kareem Hunt to stay on his side. Oh, man. Edwards knocked him back.
Welcome back to the Great Clips Postgame Show presented by Tullamore Dew, and that is the hit of the game. DeMarcus Walker with his sack, sponsored by Est Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. And, you know, again, good performance all the way around by the Bears defense, but very little of consequence, or not enough, let's put it that way, from the Bears offense. The Eddie Jackson interception got them to the 1 yard line, and then 4 plays, 8 plays, whatever way you want to look at it, they managed to get a touchdown. It took long enough, and they were all over the field, for God's sake. And listen, I mean, what the heck, Cleveland, right? They had 12 guys on the field twice in that sequence. I mean, not once, mind you, but twice they did that. And the Bears jumping and helping, whatever. They did get the touchdown. And then obviously they got an interception returned for a touchdown by DJ Edwards. A very good play on his part, and good to see the Bears score on defense. Not sure they did enough on offense, but we talk about that defense being very good, even missing some pieces.
Yeah, but the word, they got to finish. They didn't finish. I want to know what happened on the back end on those two pass plays. I know there was kind of missed tackles. How much was busted coverage again? You know, we saw that in Detroit 4 weeks ago, I guess it is now. But, you know, what's going on back there? Why can't they finish? You know, and you want to see them get to the quarterback, sack him, get the game over that as well. But it was, if you take the overall grade of the game, the defense dominated, but they just couldn't finish. And the finishing is the biggest thing. We want to see Justin Fields finish. He couldn't do it, and the defense couldn't finish either.
Yeah, they couldn't. And you know, I was thinking about Molly, Pat, I was thinking about when you talked about they weren't going to miss anything and walk. You remember early in the game when he shoved Njoku like 6 yards in the backfield?
Yeah.
He is a hard block on that edge, man. He is a tough player. And a defense, you know, I mean, I guess at the end of the game, if you go back through when they hit Amari Cooper for 40 yards and then Njoku makes that great catch in the back of the end zone, I mean, I guess those are the drives. I mean, if you want them to do more, those are the things that you want, right? You know, and Amari Cooper again late in the game and Flacco ends up with 300 yards passing. But, I mean, you're just trying to poke holes in a masterpiece, right, which is what the defense basically put on a show today. And we just don't come out to win. And you know, being a guy who's a part of a lot of games with a great defense and a bad offense, as an offense, you know when you didn't do enough, right, when you didn't make the plays. I mean, you go even to, you know, they get the ball back after that touchdown with about 4 minutes left, and you're thinking 2-for-1, finally. We talked about that a lot, right? Cleveland decided to take the ball. You got a chance for 2-for-1, and you go 3 and out because, again, you lose yards on your first play on even that drive at the end of the first half. They're going into halftime, and you don't get any points out of that. So just not enough, obviously, from the offense today, and the defense gives up big plays, and you lose a game you should have won. And I know this sounds really familiar, guys.
Yeah, it's a rough one. I think Flusi should give out game balls to everyone, write finish on them, and then just use a giant red pen and put an X over them. Or deflate them.
Finish, right, is what he said a couple of weeks ago.
That's it.
And we always talk about, Pat, like, and Mully, that you have to define finish for your team, right? And if on the pregame show we can talk about, man, what are they going to do with the ball in Fields' hand at the end of the game? If you can predict that, why can't they, right? And the thought can't be from Getsy, well, here I'll throw a toss crack to Khalil Herbert and I'll crack Miles Garrett into the boundary on first and 10.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know. It's just some of these things just kind of confuse you when you watch the game and you're thinking, okay, they're not really going to do it again, but then it does happen again.
All right, you're just not giving your quarterback a chance to win the game. That's you want the evaluation, and we didn't get it.
We want to send out a thank you to Aurelio's Pizza for delivering some great food for today's game. Download the Aurelio's app. Start earning rewards. Visit AureliosPizza.com to order from the nearest location near you, the location nearest you, Aurelio's Pizza. It's the sauce. I'll be on tomorrow starting at 5:30 a.m. Olin, you will be a guest at 7, I believe, and Patrick, Tuesday and Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken.
Tuesday and Wednesday, yes.
All right, great stuff.
I'll be listening, Pat.
Yeah.
You always do.
I'll be taking notes. And here's hoping that things seem brighter tomorrow than they did sadly this afternoon. What a wretched finish to that game. And sadly, third time that's happened this year. That seems like a lot.
What a word.
Yeah. All right. It is indeed the Great Clips Postgame Show presented by Tullamore Dew.
We finished it
tomorrow. See you.